The scripture text today is from 1 Peter chapter 2. Remembering who Peter was, the one who is well known and famous for denying the Lord 3 times, and then how Jesus had mercy upon him and called him back to service, and 3 times he promised. And here is the fulfillment of that promise. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 to 16. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. This is our theme this morning. For the Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king as supreme, or governors as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to shame, to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Amen. Do Christians have an obligation to the requirements of the law in the country where he resides? This is for us to ponder this morning. What is our obligation? You may or may not like the government, but the fact is you live in the land where there is a government, whether good or bad or indifferent, there is a government. And the government enacts laws. The question is, do these laws apply to you? Verse 13 says, from the word of God, submit yourselves to every law of man, wherever you live. They may not be good laws, but if you're living under that regime and authority, that authority is over you. For the Lord's sake, because you are there, as a Christian, you are to abide by those laws. How about that? When I was in practice, in the beginning, a friend, so-called, came to me and he says, you know, you want to start practice, I offer you my services to look after your accounts and you can save a lot of taxes. Then with that, you can do God's work. When we were in university as students, they said this is cooking the books. Some accountants are good cooks and they cook the books and you pay less tax. In other words, it is evasion of income tax. And whenever we read this in the newspapers, it sends a chill down some people's spines. So when I started practice, this applied to me. Submit yourselves to every law of man. If you are in that system and working under those conditions, follow the law. So with my partner, and this is in my memoirs, by the way, memoirs are almost complete with the printers working on it. So together with my partner, I said, let's follow a system that obeys the law. Have a system of accounting. Have staff that are specially trained. We employ them. We pay them. And I say, this is what we need, a good sleep department. So every day you collect your fees, but we don't see them. It goes to the cashier's department. And they look after everything, every cent we don't handle. So this is the system. At the end of the day, you just knock off, go home, have good sleep. Have a good sleep department that enables you to do your practice without having to worry about collecting money and about cooking your books. The Apostle Peter says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, for the Lord's sake. Because you are a Christian, it does not exempt you from that law. It doesn't mean that you can avoid those taxes or evade, which is the right word, not avoid, but evade. Illegally and unlawfully keep back some of the money, and when it is discovered, to the horror of the one who tries to make a quick buck, he pays three times what he had illegally gained. Now, we are a special people, you say. We have a king. Jesus Christ is our king. But we don't need to obey those laws of men. What do you think? One day, the Lord Jesus was challenged. Enemies came along and they put up a trap for the Lord Jesus. Remember that time Israel was under the Romans. And naturally, you are a colony of people. And the authority is the ruling power of Rome. Now, these people who were enemies, he came to Jesus and said, Lord, what do you say? Should we pay tribute and the taxes and things to Caesar? Meaning to say there is a trap there. Are you a loyal Jew to Israel or are you loyal to Rome? It is foolish to try to trap the Son of God. For the Son of God is the Lord of all wisdom, and his answer is perfect. He says, show me a coin. And the coin, there are still those coins available today. Coins that bear the head of Caesar. So Jesus says, look at the coin. What do you see there? The imprint of Caesar. And his answer is perfect. You ask me whether we pay taxes? Jesus said, render to Caesar what is Caesar's. Whatever the law says, you obey. That is the obligation of a Christian. During the Japanese regime, we had to obey the law according to the Japanese who were over us. And in those days, it was touch and go because people who took the law into their own hands and thought, well, the British have gone. Let's help ourselves to the super department stores. And they went looting. Now, Japanese law in those days was summary execution. 10 heads were displayed in a prominent place of Singapore. 10 decapitated heads. All looting stopped overnight. That is Japanese law. You don't have to ask whether I need to obey or not. That answer is very clear. We were happy when the British came back. And then we began to have self-government. Now, for the first time after 100 and many years, under the British rule, all of you do not understand those things, but in those days, under Britain, we sing God Save the King. Those days it was a king. And we keep Empire Day. And we all learn to speak King's English. Mind you, that language is a good language because it is still now the premier language of the whole world. So, under the British, we bow to the Union Jack. And kept British laws in Singapore and Malaya. Then self-rule came and we had our own government. Then there was one mayor of Singapore called Mr. Ong, and he enacted a law to say, all faithful Singaporeans, patriotic men, you're required to come and have an Operation Pantai Chantek. My Malay is not good enough. Operation Pantai Chantek, meaning to say, let's keep our beaches clean. All men are required to come on Sunday, on that day, to clean the beaches and keep them beautiful for Singapore. Now, what do you do? We were faced with this.
in our church, we had a meeting, and the elders and the pastors said, well, the idea is good, but not on the Lord's Day, because Sunday is the Lord's Day. So we sat down and put our heads together and replied to Mr. Ong Eng Guan, we agree with your Fantai Chante, very good idea, but let us do it on another day. We do not oppose that law, but as loyal citizens, we agree we should keep things clean. So that reply was sent in and that was accepted. Beautiful. The end result was we did not have to go on any other day because the people kept the places clean anyhow. Dear friends, as Christians, we are thankful that we have been given this privilege not only to be citizens of Singapore today, but also to be citizens of the heavenly kingdom, and for which we must always be grateful and thankful and remembering that we have been bought with a price. At this table this morning, we remembered what that price was. May I draw your attention to just a verse in verse 9 of the same chapter to remind us that as citizens, we have a dual citizenship. Your obligation to Singapore is in the law as enacted, but there is a higher law for us. Verse 9 says, you, Calvarians, you are chosen generation, for God has chosen you. We cannot be a Christian except God chose you. For that, be grateful. While we want to be loyal citizens of Singapore, remember we have also a higher citizenship of the heavenly kingdom given to us because of the operation of God the Holy Spirit. Verse 9 says, you are a chosen generation. Who chose us? God the Father chose us to be his children from before the foundation of the world, to confer on us an higher citizenship for which we are ever grateful. Every time you think of it, thank God that I am a child of God. Not because of my superior intellect, not because I chose God, but God chose me. A royal priesthood, verse 9 continuing. A royal priesthood meaning to say, when you come into God's kingdom, into his system, God being king, you have a royal status, a servant of God in the royal family, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you are devoted to God's kingdom, which is a holy kingdom, and we are a holy people being set apart for God's use. Realize this, so that every Christian, when you recognize that I am a child of God, member of a holy nation, how can it be that I oppose a good law of the land? How can it be that if I were such a member of the most wonderful kingdom of God, at the same time stealing money from the income tax? Now, this is the point. When you try to evade income tax, it is literally stealing from the established authority of the land. So, remember, you are a holy nation. All of us in business, take note. We are not to enact our own laws and cook our books. A peculiar people. Peculiar meaning to say we are different from the world, a special people, set apart for holy use. How do we go about daily in our business, in our use of the roads of Singapore? This is a right given to all citizens and visitors to Singapore. How do you use the road? How do you drive your car? Is there a difference the way you drive a car compared to someone else? How about from time to time we read of road rage? People who, because they get angry on the road with a fellow motorist, stops and then there's a punch-up. It comes in the newspaper. So-and-so is charged with violence on the road. Does that cohere? How does that fit in with your Christian citizenship? My Christian character. As Christians, then, we are a special people, that we should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Take the neighborhood you stay in. How are you as a member of that neighborhood? Are you a good neighbor? You use the lifts every day, you meet each other on the same lift. This is a common experience. You're not in the public lift. You go to a public lift, there are a lot of people there. You just stand still, keep quiet, use the lift. But in your own apartment, you meet the same people. Is there a courteous exchange with a view always to making a friend? And then through that friendship to come into the business of soul saving, to talk to him about opening an avenue of service, an avenue for the advance of the gospel. God, who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, also calls us to be His witnesses, to tell others that there is a greater kingdom than man's kingdom. Verse 10 says, in time past you were not a people. In times past you were lost, lost in the darkness of sin. Now, being saved, you have a royal priesthood. You're a holy people. You are special people. Show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So, I've learned this lesson. When you get into a lift, and there are not too many people living on this in this block, always greet the person. Always make a friend. And very soon you find so-and-so on such and such a floor. He's a believer. And we get to talk about things of the kingdom. And those who are not, it gives us the opportunity to talk about the salvation of the soul and to give out the tract. Do we do that? That is our obligation as a member and a citizen of the kingdom of God. In times past, verse 10, we were not a people, now are the people of God. Now we have an obligation. Now we can tell them, because I have gone through. I have received my Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I can tell you something about it. So, in that way, reach out to those who are still outside. Verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts. We cannot serve the Lord, because that service is a spiritual service. That service is for those who are good examples of the citizen of heaven. On this earth, then, we are strangers and pilgrims passing through. We must not then dabble in the lusts of the flesh, for this world is a world of the flesh and attractions of the flesh, and these war against the soul. How do we live every day? Let us examine ourselves. How much time do you spend on the television set? The television set today is the greatest medium of seduction, greatest medium of filth and sin. And how can we, as believers, Apostle Peter says, Dearly beloved, verse 11, please see there. I beseech you, you are strangers and pilgrims, passing through this world of sin, for the world is not our friend. Please understand. While we live in the world, we are in the world by force of circumstances. We are here, we have to be here, but we do not belong to the world. So we must not participate and partake of those things of the world, of fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. I was reading an article about Australian life, how that in the lunch hour, members of the public of the city of Perth have various outlets for their recreation, including sex. And that lunch hour is a time where they can participate in fleshly lusts in the city itself. And that's where people go astray. These opportunities come easy. How it is happening in Singapore, I do not know. But whenever I drive through a certain part of Orchard Road, there are suspicious-looking people, attractive people. And we can know what happens there. They say this is the clubbing area. So, my dear friends, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers, while we have an obligation to the laws of the land, and there are no laws of the land against these fleshly lusts, except at the moment against the gay movement. That one was in the news lately, but it has died down for the moment. For the moment, please understand that movement is not dead. And the fleshly lust of men and men, women and women, is growing. It will come to Singapore sooner or later. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, you are passing through. That lust, that temptation may come to you. Never be too sure. What must you do? What is your decision? As I said, in Perth, it is very easy. It is part of the culture, and they call it the sex industry. And it is there for the men to spend their lunch hour to go and have a good time. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts. We are citizens of the heavenly kingdom, and those things do not equip you for the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, meaning to say among the unbelievers. The word Gentiles here does not apply directly to the non-Jews, but it is a term referring to the unbelievers. Having your conversation honest, the way you live, the way you think, the way you order your life, let it be honest as a true believer, a child of God among the unbelievers, that whereas they may speak against you as evildoers, but because you obey the word of God, because you treat this world as only a passing through, and you obey the law of God, they may, by your good works, which they shall see, glorify God in the day of judgment. Now we come to the key verse again. Verse 13. Submit yourselves, therefore, because we are citizens of God's kingdom, we also have to obey the law of the land. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of men. Every law of men is applicable to Christians as such. How you drive again, I want to stress. Let every Christian driver drive in a way that shows he is courteous, considerate, and he is a child of God. For the Lord's sake, let us all live knowing that the Lord is soon coming, whether it is today or any day, may we be ready.
Verse 13. Submit yourselves, therefore, to every ordinance of man,
for the Lord's sake, whether it be king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so this is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, may thou teach us the law of God and the law of men, that we may be honest and God-fearing and law-abiding citizens of Singapore. May your people show forth the loving kindness of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit daily in our lives to the glory of God. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen.